With 2.1 million students in 115 colleges, the California Community Colleges are the largest system of higher education in the United States. Joining us today to discuss how they are meeting the challenge of providing education during the COVID-19 pandemic are System Chancellor Eloy Ortiz Oakley, Los Rios Community College Chancellor Brian King, and Los Angeles Community College Chancellor Francisco Rodriguez. Chancellor Oakley, how much ground educationally have students lost as a consequence of the COVID-19 statewide shutdown?
So educationally, I believe that we haven't lost too much ground. I think our students have been amazingly resilient. Our colleges have adapted quickly, quicker than just about any other system of education on the planet. Within a matter of weeks, they were engaging with their students in some remote or online platform. So based on what I've seen so far, I think our students are in a good place. They have the skills that they need to continue. And I think our colleges have done a marvelous job of keeping them on track to their educational goals.
Okay. Chancellor King, I want to ask you, looking back over the past 2 months, what best describes how the Los Rios Community College District has adapted to the new normal that you're facing today?
Sky, I think it's amazing how quickly our faculty and students made a really difficult transition from face-to-face instruction and services to remote services and online education. It seems like a long time ago, but it was only March 13th where our Board of Trustees decided that because of the pandemic, we needed to go online for our courses and remote for our services. And in 72 hours in the next week, by the following Wednesday, we had converted to online education and remote services. So it's a tribute to our faculty and staff. They've been amazing. And as Chancellor Oakley said, I appreciate Eloy's point that our students have been very resilient as well. Not without some bumps along the road, and we've learned many things that will help us in the summer term and in the fall. But if I had to choose one word to characterize what's happened in the last 3 months, it would be amazing.
Chancellor Rodriguez, how does that track with your own experience down in Los Angeles, especially given the size and scale of your district?
Thank you, Scott, and good to see everyone. Very similarly, I would describe the word as resilient. At LACCD, with our 9 colleges and over 200,000 students, we too took a very, very similar approach by declaring a state of emergency and then getting to work. So we suspended classes for 5 days, moved our spring break from April to March to butt up against the suspension of classes. And then we had a 2-week period in which we transitioned 10,000 courses to a remote or online environment and moved essentially 10,000 employees to remote business operations. So yeah, resilient, remarkable, amazing, as Chancellor King pointed out, and innovative with respect to how we addressed the needs of students, knowing that it wasn't going to be swift at the beginning. And I'm happy to report that today is our commencement day. And this morning and later this afternoon, I'll be attending virtually some commencement ceremonies to celebrate the tremendous sheer will of our institution to maintain business and academic continuity.
If I can quickly add, Scott, the one thing I do want to highlight is while I think our students working with our faculty and staff have limited the learning loss, there have been tremendous economic loss to our students. They were some of the most vulnerable in the economy before this triple crisis happened, and they've been acutely impacted by the economic fallout of the public health crisis, the economic crisis, and now the public unrest. So there has been loss for our students. I'm just hopeful that the learning loss has been limited, but we certainly recognize that they've experienced quite a bit of loss.
Can I add to that, the Chancellor Oakley?
Sure.
And Scott, I want to underscore the point that the Chancellor has shared. The pandemic has exacerbated inequity and educational disparities that existed well before the pandemic. So we have had to adjust, solve, and support the basic needs of students and that we were doing before, but in much more creative ways. So indeed, it has shown that our system is indeed vulnerable right now because we do serve the most vulnerable student populations on, we believe, in any system of higher education. It has shared, it has shown a lot of light on the areas that we need to improve moving forward.
It's interesting that you both mentioned that. And Chancellor King, I want to get you in on this as well. Give us a sense, for those of us who may not have touched the system in a while, exactly who are the people that the community colleges serve in general?
Well, the people that we serve are your neighbors. They're the people in the community. They're your friends. We serve students in their teens all the way to students who are in their 80s. We are the part of higher education that serves all students and are so important to helping students find a path from frequently poverty to the middle class. And the point that my two colleagues have shared is really an important one. Even before this wave of crises, our students were on the margins and were the most vulnerable and were struggling with food insecurity and housing. And now with loss of employment, those problems have been made so much worse. And have to emphasize how supportive our faculty and staff and community have been in donating to our student emergency funds, and would not have done my job if I didn't share with all of your viewers that great opportunity to reach out to your local college foundation, the Los Rios Colleges Foundation, and make a contribution to our student emergency fund, because those contributions would go 100% to our students. And you really can make a difference for a community college student with a relatively small amount of money. For the student who's on that margin between turning their life around and really finding success in so many ways at our colleges.
Well, it raises a question, Chancellor Oakley, about what happens. Right now, it's been announced that there are significant budget cuts that are poised to be enacted in the upcoming budget. Given the mission of the community colleges, what's the impact if these are enacted?
Well, it's a significant impact to the students and the communities that are front and center in this crisis. If you think about it, every time you turn on the TV, you see our colleges in action, in the first responders that you see, law enforcement, EMTs, nurses, grocery store workers, Amazon workers. Everywhere you see frontline workers, you see the California Community Colleges. And so this is extremely impactful to the students that we serve and to California as a whole, given that we serve the bulk of the workforce in California. And in times of high unemployment, in times of high underemployment, Californians turn to the California Community Colleges to be reskilled. So it's sort of an opposite reaction. It seems like every time we have an economic crisis, we reduce capacity at the community colleges when we need it the most, when the majority of Californians are trying to access career education services, workforce training services, so that they can be reemployed. So I hope we learn the lessons from the last economic downturn and we not restrict access to the California community colleges.
It's interesting you raise that because Chancellor Rodriguez, you and I have spoken in the past, and you've really made a focus of your work in addressing the issue of economic inequality and the work that community colleges play in giving people a leg up onto the ladder that moves them toward prosperity. When you think about budget cuts and a term that I've heard you use in the past, rationed education, what are the implications to build on Chancellor Oakley's point?
Scott, the implications are significant. There is no greater determinant of social and economic mobility than in education. So curtailing access really does, I think, disrupt the democratic process, will delay the economic recovery for California, and will provide less tools that we have towards mitigating a potential second spread or a second spike of the pandemic. Lost in some of the narrative is the tremendous work and mitigation strategy that all of our colleges and universities engaged in to remove people from campuses where congregations and socialization and classroom environments, if you will, where people are together, takes place. You know, the 2.1 million students in the California Community College system literally moving off campus to a safer home environment, the employees, et cetera, that work with our students off campus to mitigate those sorts of things. So the first thing to underscore is our sort of defense strategy against a second spike that could be equally, if not more, ruinous. But with respect to the profile of students that we serve and the lack of educational opportunity, consider that our community colleges, Scott, serve more disadvantaged, marginalized, minoritized communities than any other system of higher education. Let me drill down just a little bit more. We serve more undocumented students than the entire UC and CSUs combined by a 7-to-1 ratio. More student veterans, more students with disabilities, more students who are former foster care, more students who are older in the attainment, if you will, age attainment spectrum, and students with other kinds and more students of color than any other system. So by limiting access to a community college education, you really are impacting access to the democratization, if you will, of our communities and society. And we're therefore adding more strain to the economic and opportunity gaps that already exist. So for those reasons are super important.
Chancellor King, the community colleges are typically the place where it is that people get the jobs and reskill training that they need in order to move into new careers after they've been dislocated. But and a number of jobs are not coming back whenever recovery starts to really kick in. Without that lifeline, where are the students that you would typically serve going to go?
It's a great point that the economic devastation that has been wrought by the pandemic and the other crises is going to have some permanent impacts on the economy and where the jobs are. The good news is that our community colleges are far and away the most nimble part of higher education and able to adapt more quickly. And you talk about students who come to us who have had other experiences, and I'm talking to one right now, Scott Syfax, who attended Cosumnes River College in the Los Rios Community College District, and not long ago was statewide alumni of the year. So Scott, you're a living example of the ability of community colleges to help be a springboard to great success. More specifically in the short term, we know more than ever that equity gaps in access to broadband technology and computers is a gap that we can close and that we will close at our colleges. And providing students with digital skills, it is really a baseline expectation for employers that our students understand how to use digital tools. And we've had bumps in the road using online courses for students who didn't have adequate broadband and didn't have the laptops they need. I think all of our colleges and our system has done an unbelievable job in helping connect students with devices. But the next step will be to make sure that we're providing them with the training on how to use those tools, because there's really nothing we could do that will be more impactful in recent years than close the digital skills gap between the rich and the poor.
Scott, if I could just add a fine point to what both of my colleagues just said, what I do know is where our students will go, where Californians will go if we cannot fund our colleges. They will go to the very slickly marketed, tons of commercial, for-profit institutions that are preying on the most vulnerable students right now. You turn on any TV right now and you see a myriad of ads for for-profit institutions offering careers in health for a ton of money and a high amount of debt and very low quality. So we need to ensure that the public option is available to students, an affordable quality education for our most vulnerable Californians is critically important. Otherwise, they're going to be preyed upon by a for-profit industry that doesn't prioritize quality education like the California Community Colleges do.
Chancellor Oakley, thank you for that comment. I want to turn the conversation, though, back to the moment that you first got the news that the shutdown was going to take place. Tell me, share with us what was going through your mind, and what were the range of sort of issues that you were thinking about in that moment?
Well, interestingly enough, you know, this crisis started to creep up on us. We could see from afar what was happening around the world, and we were trying to wrap our minds around, will this crisis hit us in California? As a matter of fact, I had a chance to meet with all of the chief executive officers of the California Community Colleges and told them that was my greatest worry. And so when that moment hit, when the governor declared that we are shutting down and staying in place, my biggest worry was for our students, how we were going to ensure that we kept them engaged, how we were going to ensure that we didn't allow this crisis to be one more excuse as to why low-income students and students of color fall further behind. So that was my greatest worry. But I knew that we have some amazing colleges, amazing faculty, staff, and leaders like Francisco and Brian, who I knew would jump right in and do what we do in every crisis. We do have a lot of experience with crisis, whether it's fire, flood, earthquake. We're always in the middle of a community helping them respond and to heal. So that's what's happening now, and that's what gives me great hope.
I'm curious, Chancellor Rodriguez, when you had to meet the challenge of retraining thousands of staff and converting all of those courses online, I assume that there might have been a little bit of resistance in there. Let us in on what were the sacred cows that had to be slaughtered very quickly in order to move from where you were to where you're at today.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Scott. Well, there were quite a few, but fortunately, cooperation ultimately prevailed. First and foremost, I think what hit us was we did not understand the pervasive and absolute ravaging impact of this virus, this novel virus that was new. So part of not just beginning to understand how we would maintain academic and business continuity, we had to figure out what this thing is and how it is that our health community could help to mitigate it and stop it. And as you recall, every day, sometimes multiple times in the same day, the new spread and the new impacts and how it could be spread, masks, no masks, I mean, physical distancing, congregations, the state and as well as our county health departments were working, you know, 24/7 to give us a better understanding as to what this thing was and is. And we're still, I think, in some circumstances battling to better understand the mutations of this virus and then some kind of determination as to when a vaccine could be indeed found. So in us trying to think about how we would move forward, some of those areas that were challenging, first of all, how would we maintain the academic quality in a remote and online learning environment? About 18% of our courses were already online, and about a third of our faculty was trained through distance education certification. Well, that moved to a 95% online remote learning environment, and almost 100% of our faculty getting some level of training for distance education. So the areas that had to be slaughtered, if you will, to use your verb, was a consultation as to how we would do this, who would do it, how we would compensate them, what kind of tools they would have, how fast they could do it, and would our system, our infrastructure survive with this load of Canvas Shell courses all being delivered all at the same time with maximum use? Could we do that in such a way that would maintain cybersecurity, that would maintain the integrity of the program? So it was hair-raising, and it was indeed a lot of consultation, a lot of negotiation, and a high cost. And we have already encumbered or spent close to $15 million in the last 3 months related to our COVID response. Everything from PPE to training to new cleaning guidelines, to supplies, to overtime, to move this thing forward. So it was not without its costs. And because we have a very, very important shared governance consultation process throughout of our colleges, we had to move through those efficiently.
Chancellor King, when you hear your colleague talk about what happened, and I assume that that was similar to your experience up here in Los Rios, what stays as we recover and at some point we all return to a more normal life? What parts of this adaptation remain and will be leveraged further as you go forth and execute the mission of Los Rios and community colleges?
It's really a great question, Scott, that none of us would ever want this sort of crisis, but we have to recognize that out of crisis, there is opportunity. And both at the Los Angeles Community College District and Los Rios, we have very large bureaucracies, and Eloy leads a system composed of a large confederation of bureaucracies, so change is hard. And in a crisis, there has been an opportunity to try some things very quickly that at any of our organizations, it would have taken months to just get a committee together to start planning. And we didn't have that luxury. So I think we've developed some muscle that will serve us well to realize we can do things quickly with also having collegial consultation and having input from a wide variety of people, and we can make good decisions quickly. A couple examples of that, at our district, most of our academic advising or counseling appointments had been 30-minute appointments face-to-face in person. And there's a great utility to being able to meet face-to-face with a counselor, one of our faculty counselors, to plan out your schedule. In 48 hours, 72 hours tops, we had counselors up and running doing remote counseling appointments. So you think about many students who simply had not been able to find the time with children to take care of, with jobs, with aging parents, who would have liked to have met with a counselor, but were not able to come on campus to do that. Now we have a vehicle for students to meet with our counselors remotely. And I think many of our services that we were still providing in pretty much the same way that we did when Eloy and Francisco and I were young presidents many, many years ago, we had an opportunity to update and modernize some policies very quickly. And you asked earlier about the reduction of resources that we know comes during an economic downturn, the paradox when we need more resources and more students come to us, our funding tends to be reduced. There will be some opportunities using technology to provide a level of service that is better in some ways than it was before. And I really hope and believe we'll have the courage to look at some of the experiments that we were forced to try that were successful and continue them moving forward. And also to look at the data and recognize some of the things that some of the forced experiments were not successful. And what can we do to make sure that particularly our most vulnerable students and students of color can have a new system and new business practices coming out of this that are in their interest.
Chancellor Oakley, when is it that live classes are going to resume? And when they do resume, what is that going to look like? What is that going to look like differently than how it is that we're used to experiencing the community college world?
Well, as Dr. Fauci likes to say, the virus will determine when we have those in-person classes again, but we are preparing for them. I do think that certainly for the essential infrastructure workforce programs, we need to continue those with a physical distancing protocol in place. But those programs are critical to continuing to supply workers to the state of California, and they require some sort of hands-on experience. So we need to adapt those programs to have some sort of physical distancing protocol. Colleges in general, as both of my colleagues have mentioned, we're going to have workers continuing to work remotely. There may be some workers on campus as needed to continue certain functions. And we're going to have to limit the number of students in any classroom. We're going to have to reconfigure classrooms. So a lot of the protocols you see K-12 beginning to implement, Some of those will be similar, although different, in our colleges, but we are still going to have to be, continue to be as remote as possible, continue to have as much online courses as possible, while we balance the challenges that we face in this public health crisis as it continues. And then, as was mentioned, we really won't have any assurances about how we can develop a new normal until we have a vaccine. Then and only then can we begin to feel safe and ensure the safety of our faculty, staff, and students.
And I think we're going to have to leave it there. Good luck to you gentlemen in for the next semester. Congratulations on the graduations taking place today and those in the coming weeks. And best of luck on continuing to provide your mission. And that's our show. Thanks to our guests, and thanks to you for watching Studio Sacramento. I'm Scott Syphax. See you next time, right here on KVIE.
Thank you for listening to Studio Sacramento from KVIE Public Television. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a review on iTunes to help others find it.
All episodes of Studio Sacramento, along with other KVIE programs, are available to watch online at kvie.org/video.